In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and also at getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your jive-talking vampire hunters.
Driving a stake through the spooky world of comic books.
Yes, jive-talking.
Who sang that?
Am I the only guy who remembers that?
Who sang that?
I think that was the Bee Gees.
It was. You're very right. Yeah, you're not just right, you're very right.
Showing my age, Chris. Wow. Chris, welcome. Why am I welcoming you? I always welcome you.
Well, you know, I appreciate it. You know, I feel like I should be welcome.
It's great to be here for our Halloween show.
Ooh. Hey, do you remember SCTV? And they used to have like Count Floyd and
scary
movie.
Stuff.
Yeah. Count Floyd's Monster Chitter Horror Theater.
Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, it was a lot better when Joe Flaherty did it.
You're absolutely right. But hey, listen, we're honored today to have a special guest and regular, really, on the show.
Regular.
Local actor and soon to be international star, Marty Berth Elmer.
Marty, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I don't know so much about international stardom. It looks like you two are the hams out here. I was ready just to sit aside and listen to you two banter all day.
Well, that is fun.
Well, you have stuff to plug, and we're going to get to that later.
Oh, I like plugging things in.
Yes, and for now, please join us as always, and with your opinion, jump in with any kind of comment if something, you know, just
I'm very opinionated. I won't pull any punches here, Walt.
Good. All right. Good.
All right. Well, let's start it off with new this week, and new this week is brought to you by zombies. Because you know what's better than zombies? Nothing. That's right. Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Absolutely nothing.
All right, Chris. New this week, we decided this week, I guess, to pick a few Halloween themes.
Yeah. So normally we'd have like a hodgepodge. You know, we'd have one Marvel, we'd have one DC, one alternative, and one
that
kids one.
Is so yesterday.
Out the window.
Yes.
Completely out the window. So what we've decided to do this week is we're just sort of showcasing all the horrific. Do you like the way I said the horrific comic books out there?
No.
Horrific.
Yeah.
Darker, Halloween-y kind of comic books out there.
And these, of course, are not the only ones. This is something that we quickly just grabbed. We skimmed off the top of a box.
Yeah,
really.
we just grabbed a few. There's lots of them out
there. Lots
skimmed
lots
from
of
your
Halloween
comic store, you mean.
Pardon?
Skimming off the top. I understand. I know
what's
going on.
Yeah.
Hey, don't tell the accountant.
No.
Yes.
So, you know what?
Who's also the juggler, basically. Never mind.
Hey, ooh, wait.
Go ahead, Chris.
You know, okay, so as always, no comic culture radio show would be complete without talking about The Walking Dead. And, of course, The Walking Dead number 90 comes out this week.
Yes.
And so for those of you who are fans, I know I am a new fan of the show. The comic book I read the first couple graphic novels, and now I'm into the show. It's awesome.
Excellent. Robert Kirkman, of course, his stellar property. Now, I got a quick question for you. I know we have a lot of things to do, but
yes.
You know, at the shop, we carry Walking Dead toys.
Right.
Okay, and, you know, they're doing okay.
Yeah, okay.
My point here is Walking Dead as a property. Walking Dead is being carried. It's quality writing.
Quality
storytelling.
Yeah, for sure.
But is there, like, a character in Walking Dead that people can rally around? Pardon my French here.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't watched The Walking Dead, but there isn't, like, a larger-than-life character that you can kind of anchor the property to, like a Hulk
Nothing like that. No, I think the zombies are probably the larger than life characters.
Right, but they come and go, and they come and go.
And the thing is, but they sort of embody like the. It's like, you know, they embody what the show's all about. So it's like, you know, if you read a Hulk book, it's all about the Hulk. Well, the zombies are all about the Walking Dead's all about zombies, but in a way, it's not, because it's all about the relationships between all the different people in the book. But nobody kind of stands out other than there is sort of a lead character.
Right. A leader.
But he's cop or whatever.
Yeah, right? He's a sheriff.
Well, okay, yeah, but my point, I guess, was that say you know, Kirkman leaves Walking Dead.
Right.
And 3-4 years later, some new writer comes on to Walking Dead.
Right.
You know, what's he coming back to? What are people going to remember? The characters, right?
But right.
Are the characters at the forefront of Walking Dead?
It's more like the relationships. It's not even it's not even about characters anymore. It's more about the relationships and the way he writes the story. And anyways, it's really good. Right. I say check it out.
All right, what else we got, Chris, for Halloween?
Okay, so DC is actually putting out the Justice League Dark number 2 comes out this week.
Yeah, you know, Justice League Dark, that's that kind of occult theme.
Yeah, this is sort of like, you know, the you know how there was like the Vertigo universe and the DC universe. Mm-hmm. This is sort of the DC universe's answer to the Vertigo universe, because it's got John Constantine, it's got Zatanna.
It's called Burning Witches.
It's got all those kind of characters in it, right? So it has like, you know, an occultish kind of feel.
And nothing scarier, Chris, than a big bosom Zatanna on the cover.
Well, especially in fishnets.
Right.
Yeah. For sure. All right, and speaking of big bosoms,
yes,
we have Grimm Fairy Tales Halloween Special number. 2011 Halloween Special.
Right.
And on the cover, it looks like it might be maybe like Snow White. I think maybe.
But I don't really care.
She's actually, believe it or not, she's actually holding an apple. I know nobody's really looking at the apple, but
no, we're distracted by our apples.
Yeah, he's quite bosomy. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Hello. So this is another Halloween cover that basically has large bosoms on it.
Yes. And speaking of large bosoms, I saved a couple for the end here.
A couple of bosoms.
We've got Vampirella and the Scarlet Legion. So Vampirella is, of course, a character that's been around from, like, geez, like 1970s.
Since the 60s. Late 60s, I think. The old Warren magazines, immortalized by a couple of great Frank Frazetta covers,
that's right,
of course.
That's right.
And you're right. Like, there is a scantily clad, large bosom Vampirella on the cover.
Yes, that's
wow,
right.
Wow, that's scary.
That is scary. And you know what's even scarier is the compilation of this comic book. So it's trade paperback of Zombies versus Cheerleaders. So speaking of
Marty's favorite.
Large
bosoms, absolutely. Cheerleaders.
You know, you get the best of two different worlds here. Three worlds? I don't know what you want to say. Two worlds. But you get large bosoms, cheerleaders, and zombies.
Right. And nothing scares me more than a large bosom cheerleader with a bloody axe in her
head. Yeah, because she's got to kill the zombies. Right?
But that's boy bread and butter right there.
It really is.
Growth lessons right in there.
If it was drawn just a little bit better, I might actually buy it.
Right.
Chris, you've got 5 in your bin already. Don't
tell people that.
All right, so there's another, and this is a graphic novel, Chris. Yeah, this is a brand new graphic novel.
It's a compilation of all the other Zombie versus Cheerleaders comics that have already come out.
Right, from Moonstone Publishing.
Right.
Available at your local comic
Moonstone's
shop.
Moonstone's an interesting company, because they actually do books like,
well, they did the Night Stalker.
The Night Stalker, that's what I was thinking of.
That was a great
Kolchak,
the Night Stalker. Yeah.
Okay, so getting away from large bosomy cheerleaders.
Finally!
Man,
I had enough already, Marty.
The latest issue of Mad Magazine has their spin on The Walking Dead, and of course, they have Alfred E. Newman as a zombie, as a human getting eaten by a number of different zombies.
Yeah.
But I'd like to point out here that in this issue of Mad Magazine, there's also the Zit Hall of Fame on the cover, apparently.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, nice. You know, so not only do you get Alfred E. Newman getting eaten by zombies, you also get the Zit Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, and that's important.
Absolutely.
Right. And there's a great, great picture of Hendricks getting his hair done reading a Mad Magazine.
Of who?
Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, Jimi Hendrix. Oh, yeah, nice.
Which is very cool.
Of course.
All right, so, Chris, I think you and I talked about 11 or 12 comics right now.
I don't know if it was that many, but there was a few.
And guys, if I could just, before we move on, I'd just like to personally say, I like Halloween, the season, you know, whether it's Thank God or Satan or whoever for Halloween.
Right.
Thank them, because the Dark DC titles, that's all great. That's cool stuff. Whereas, you know, Marvel and Christmas time with everyone wearing Santa beard, that's, you know, that's...
Yeah, that's getting that's old, right?
Yeah, so, you know, Halloween's much better for the comic
book. But I have a feeling, I have a suspicious feeling, Marty, that you're going to see a lot of big bosoms come Christmas this year, too.
It seems like holidays just bring on the bosoms.
Right. and apparently so.
And for those who are bosom fans, you know, they're much happier about these things.
If you're a bosom fan, guy, head into your local comic book shop this week. There's plethora of bosoms.
Plethora of bosoms. Mm-hmm.
Available.
And some of them are on the covers, too.
And some of them are on the covers.
Not just the people buying stuff.
Right. Just the customers.
All right. Let's get out of this before we get into trouble.
Okay, and here's a guy that knows his bosoms, and that's Rob Zombie in Meet the Creeper.
Funky drummer.
Yeah, you love it.
All right, Chris. Great, of course, tune for Halloween.
Absolutely. It is Rob Zombie.
Yeah, and a great segue into industry news.
Yes.
And this week, our special guest, Marty, will read our industry news sponsor.
He's special, all right. Industry news is brought to you by the Modesty Formula. Are vampires getting you down? Then why not send those bloodsuckers to a second death? You, too, can magically destroy the Children of the Night, and all for $19.95. The Modesty Formula. Pick it up today.
Excellent reading. Excellent.
At your local comic book shop.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize Big B was selling that kind of stuff.
Well, we're not. Like, good shop.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Chris, you know what? Before we jump into industry news, you know, we got to talking about those
horror comics,
Halloween comics. Now, yeah. I mean, you and I read comics for years,
years. Still reading them.
Still reading them. Yeah. Like, was there a particular comic that was the when you were a kid that you liked, kind of Halloween, scary comic?
Yeah, you know what? I will say there is a comic that actually scared me as a kid. And that was the adaptation, because I didn't get a chance to see the movie, but the adaptation for the Creepshow movie, the adaptation by Bernie Wrightson of Stephen King's Creepshow movie, you know, and I that scared the bejesus out of me, because, you know, it was pretty graphic. I was a little kid. I was too young to actually see the movie, but the comic was, well, I wasn't supposed to be reading the comic, I guess, but you go down to a local comic book store and you sneak a few peeks. I remember reading it, or maybe a friend of mine had it or something, but that was actually pretty scary, because there was, like, heads being blown off and zombies, and, you know, zombies and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so it was pretty scary for me.
Even back then, Chris, zombies, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess they're called zombies. The Walking Dead type people. Yeah,
right,
you know,
right.
Like that. What about you? Was there any comic?
You know what? I'm even older than you, and when I was a kid, the only place we can get comics was at the local variety store, and there was really nothing to scare. There was the bread and butter Marvel Werewolf by Night, which I kind of liked, which was my favorite kind of...
Spooky kind of thing.
Even though I really, like, as a character, I like the werewolf.
Right.
You know, I used to be a werewolf.
Yeah, what do you mean, used to be?
Yeah, I'm all right now.
Oh. Somebody give me a silver bullet.
Something tells me he found that somewhere, thought it was funny. And
Yeah.
All right, stop me.
Oh, boy.
I loved Gene Colan's run on Tomb of Dracula.
Yeah,
that was,
for sure.
That was really, really good kind of gothic...
Oh, his art was awesome.
Art.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I never really cared for the stories in that, but
I like the werewolf stories better.
Yeah, me too.
I like the werewolf stories better.
Now, okay, so what about, like, do you actually have any favorite horror comic books?
Well, you know what?
Or would that be it, I guess?
I guess Werewolf would be one, because that's from my childhood. Now, I've sampled some of the old EC stuff.
Right.
Which, good thing about EC was there were some really cool standalone stories that were kind of scary and spooky and stuff like that. You know what I mean? The guy, you know, that's not dead, but they think he's dead.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, they're dissecting him and all that kind of stuff, which is kind of very Halloweenish. And,
Or they're in, like, a wax museum, and the guy, and they're supposed to be pretending to be a wax mummy, but he's really not. He's actually just...
Right,
you know,
yeah. And, you know, but I guess it would be probably the 70s and Wolverine.
Right, right. What about you, Marty? Is there anything that you like about horror comics?
Like, well, that I'm afraid of?
Well, yeah. Did you ever get scared by a horror comic?
I got scared of every time I read Superman. anyone in those revealing of tights to make you think the wrong things?
Right.
It concerned me a little bit
that
what I was thinking and feeling.
What did it? Never mind.
However,
I won't go down that route.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say, you know what? Zombies, I like zombies. I like the vampire stuff. I like all that. But, you know, nothing really scares me, because the stuff that I read was like Resident Evil.
Right.
You know, I go into that, or like Predator, the comics. You know, they're relatively new. Drop off really quick. But because I knew and I played the video games, you're not walking into anything that you're not expecting.
Sure, sure.
So.
You know, one of my favorite horror comics was by a guy named Dan Brereton, and he did a comic called The Nocturnals. And I was always a fan of that comic.
Yeah.
Dan Brereton had a great gothic sort of horror, spooky kind of feel to his artwork, and I always liked his stuff. And, you know, funny enough, with Halloween coming, there's more comics on the way.
Yeah, you know what, Chris? Good segue. Kind of really what we should be getting into, because there's so much industry news this week. We got to get to it. Let's talk about last week, just before we went off air there, we talked about the potential to have a second free comic book day during the year, and Halloween being the focal point of it.
Yeah, this is awesome. I think it's a great idea. I think, you know, with Free Comic Book Day coming in May, every year, it's sort of the beginning of, you know, it's the springtime, you know, the school's starting to wind down a little bit.
It magically coincides usually with the big first Marvel release of the movies.
Right.
Yeah, you're right,
Marty. Too. It starts the blockbuster season, too. Yeah.
Well, and next year, of course, it's going to be the biggie of biggies, right? Free Comic Book Day is the Saturday and the Friday night before Avengers opens.
Which should be massive.
Absolutely. Yes. And but I love the fact that they, you know, instead of giving out candy for kids, why not give out comic books? And I think that's what Free Comic Book Day for Halloween is all about here. They're saying, you know, come to the local comic book store, get your free comic book day, and get your free comic book. Rather than having the store give out candy, you know, how about give out literacy?
Right, but I think they're going also another route. And there was a store, I don't know where it was, but there was a store. It was a Blue Beetle up in Barrie.
Okay, right.
I was up there, and they had for sale, like through the whole month of October, 25 packs of, you know, your scary Archie and your scary Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what they're saying is, don't go to Sobeys or wherever and buy your
candy.
50 Kit Kats.
Yep.
Come here to a comic shop
and buy 50
and buy your 50 scary comic books.
Yeah, and it's at a discounted price.
And it's probably cost the same as those little bags of chips or the little chocolate bars.
Probably healthier to eat, too.
And probably healthier
for a lot more roughage, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And you're going to be handing them out on now. Can you imagine how ticked off a kid's going to be?
Okay, yeah, this is the thing, right? Like, it's okay if a couple of stores do this, a couple of neighbors. But we got a whole neighborhood giving out the same comic book.
Right, or the same two
same
or three.
Two,
right.
Yeah. What'd you get? Oh, I got four. Or eight.
You see, Mom. Why don't you go up there and read that? No, this sucks. I hate Halloween.
Where's my candy?
Where's my candy?
Well, you know what? For people that are probably going to want to actually read these books, you know, teenagers and stuff like that. Personally, when I was a kid, it wasn't even that you got a dud house, and you know, and someone who gave you something, you know, say an apple or something. It was more the fact of the people who gave you heavier things, because that one house is weighing you down.
You got
20 less houses because they gave you a can of pop. So everyone's throwing their can of pops up in the air and letting them explode on the street just so they can get in those extra 10 houses before they have to dump off their haul.
It was always good getting a can of pop, but man, it like, you know, weighed you down.
Oh, absolutely.
The best were the people that gave out like full size candy bars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know.
Full size Snickers. Packers. What the? That's fantastic.
Far and few between. But a good idea, I guess. But don't you got to remember here that the retailers are going to foot the bill for this. So,
that's okay. As a customer, I don't mind.
Sounds You're great.
Swell,
that sounds fantastic.
It's customers like you that carry this business. I guess from the publisher point of view, it's another avenue to get their things out. But I do like this angle of starting a trend to get customers to come in before Halloween.
Yeah.
Not just kids dressed up to come on Halloween Day, but to give out free comics on Halloween.
Absolutely. And you know what? I also like this idea because for people that are still, I know it's hard to believe, but there are some people out there that still aren't aware of comic book stores and what they do for the community.
Right.
And the kind of products that they have. But I think this is great because now this is going to be a little bit of a precursor to Christmas. So now you've got people coming in just before Halloween. Kids are like, mommy, I want this toy, I want that toy or whatever. And now all of a sudden, I think it's going to work well. I know, yes, comic book stores are going to flip the bill for these free comics. However, I think they're going to, get the
reap the rewards later.
Exactly.
And more importantly, 9 out of 10 dentists recommend giving away free comics.
Well, absolutely.
On Halloween.
Absolutely. All right.
All right, Chris, let's move it along. Oh, let's talk about Fox, the TV station. Marty, have you heard of Fox? Not Megan Fox. Easy boy.
Oh, you got me stunned here. I'm looking at
stunned.
Stars.
Yeah.
Stunned.
Yeah. He's thinking of bosoms again.
Right.
Yeah. Can we go
Punisher.
Back to that topic?
No. Punisher, guys. The Punisher is going on to Fox. We're talking about Frank Castle as a detective on the NYPD who, when they don't get to put away the bad guy, at night he dons the Punisher costume and he goes take care of business.
Right. Now, Marty, you're a fan of movies and film. Does this not reek of the idea behind Dexter?
I guess it's touching on a few things, but look how popular Dexter is, for instance. It might be infringing a little bit, but it's with its comic-esque. You got the characters. Punisher, who probably relates closest to that sort of character, right? It's someone who is a figure in the community, but then takes it upon himself to do maybe against the law sort of dealings, although all superheroes kind of break the law at some point.
Kind of, yeah.
But I could see him most
the
likely...
The fashion police, at least, Marty.
absolutely. The runway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, speaking of fashion police, do you remember, this is really obscure, but I got to bring it up now that you've mentioned that. Do you remember it was Daredevil number 6?
Of course I remember Daredevil number 6.
Back in the 60s. Remember Daredevil had the yellow and black costume?
Yes.
And somebody came up to him and said, who's your tailor? It must be blind. And of course Daredevil himself is blind.
Yeah. So another history note, it was Daredevil number 7 that introduced his new costume.
That's what I'm saying. So I think it was number 6 and then
Look at you, Chris.
Yeah.
So. All right. Where the hell were
we? I don't know, but I think it could work with that character. Any other superhero might kind of seem a little weird that they're going off tangent and doing things behind I don't know.
The whole premise is like, remember the old movie Star Chamber?
Where
prominent citizens will go and, kind of be judge and jury to what the police can't do. And they would contract killers out to kill people that,
can't be killed.
That the police won't arrest and that kind of stuff. So, what's good about it, what I think is good about it, and I think you're seeing a little bit of a trend about it, is the comic properties, they're trying – the word isn't dumbed down, of course, not at all, but they're trying to take the comic properties and make them less comic-y.
Right, exactly.
So here's a cop who goes out at night, maybe puts on a black leather jacket, and he has a T-shirt underneath with a skull on it or something like that.
Yeah, it's going to be sort of comic-y, but not really
but
comic-y.
Because he doesn't have superpowers. He's not flying around
wearing
a cape or anything.
Sort of realistic, but not realistic.
Right.
Right.
So they're trying to do that with which is cool, I think.
I think it'll work.
I think it depends. Who's playing Punisher, Walt?
I don't really know that yet.
Dolph Lundgren, I think.
Oh, because if Marty Berthelmer's in there somewhere, then I'm all for it.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Me too.
I would watch that. In fact, I'd tape it.
Mm-hmm. Would you? Yeah, tape it?
You'd record it.
I guess
you'd pirate it?
Nobody tapes anything these days.
Except maybe like something on a wall.
I'd like to do that to your mouth sometimes.
Okay.
Just amongst friends.
Just joking.
Chris, have you ever had a double down?
The KFC thing?
Yeah.
I never did have that. I always wanted to.
It's really salty.
Yeah, that's what everybody kept on telling me.
Yeah.
I feared for my heart.
Marvel is, I guess they call them Double Down's on Point One.
Yeah, so Point One is that new comic that's coming out that's going to be sort of like a starting point for Marvel, right? Like,
yeah, Marvel describes it as the Rosetta Stone for the Marvel Universe of 2012. Of course, Rosetta Stone was the Egyptian treasure, I guess, that had both
artifact.
Hieroglyphics and Greek, or I think it was Greek. So that was the key for them to decipher the rest of the hieroglyphics.
I don't want to go into a history debate here. It was like a tablet that had something written in it, but it was written in three languages,
Was it three?
So they could cross-compare and then actually use that to decipher ancient hieroglyphics.
Well, thank you, Professor.
It wasn't that it was a treasure or anything. I think it was just like kind of like a landmark area, so that any passerby, because Egypt had a lot of people from out of country, right?
Egypt
did have a lot of people,
everyone could read and then understand what's going on.
A lot of Egyptians,
quite a few.
Okay, thanks for that history lesson. But the point here is that I guess all comic shops have handed in their orders for. What do you call it?
For Point One.
Point One, thank you. And I guess Marvel wasn't happy with the 60-plus thousand that were ordered, which is terrible.
Right.
Really? So they've kind of announced that they are shipping one per each one you ordered. So they're doubling up.
Right. And now, this isn't going to be like a it's not one of those systems where, you know how sometimes they used to send books and, if
they overship?
If they didn't sell, this is just them saying,
they're free.
These are free. These are going to, you can sell them, you can give them away, whatever you want. This is just to entice people to start buying the rest of the Marvel Universe in 2012.
So you're getting twice as many for your dollar?
Yeah.
So essentially it's just half price. They're
pretty well. I mean, if you sell them, they're half price, right?
Which I suppose you could.
Yeah, I mean, comic shops, see, the thing with, and you and I, Chris, every now and then do that, this month, the largest selling comic books.
Yeah.
Those sales figures are from Diamond, which is the only distributor of comics,
right,
to local comic shops,
right,
which this radio show supports.
Absolutely.
Now, when this comes out in December, I have a sneaky suspicion that, Point One may sneak into number one spot.
Well, I'm wondering if it may sneak into number one spot because of number of items shipped.
Yes,
but not necessarily for dollar figure.
Well, I think it probably will do dollar figure if it's a $3.99 book as well. It probably will do.
Even at 60,000?
No, it's 120,000.
Yeah, they're not paying for that 100. So they're only actually paying.
Yeah, it's a good point. They may use they may use it as
skew it some way
to make it look like they have the number one book in December whatever.
Right.
So it could be a marketing ploy as well, or it could be the fact that Marvel has something up their sleeve that's going to be big that they couldn't tell the retailer.
Right.
So the retailer's sitting there, why the hell am I going to order 200 of these?
Right.
I better be careful and order 100 of them.
Yeah.
But they know something big is coming, so they're going to telling the retailer.
Sure.
So they're just
makes
doubling
sense.
Up.
It seems like the retailer is being put in that hot seat a lot with the 52, and how do I overorder, do I underorder, and then it's right into this. It's one thing to another. It's kind of exciting times, huh, Walt?
Well, it absolutely is, but you can never guess right. If you guess wrong, when you guess wrong, one of two things happen. You get people knocking on your door and you're turning them away, or you have a basement full of stuff that you can't sell.
But the thing with this is, it seems to me like if Marvel was really confident about this, they would have done an overship policy rather than just giving them away.
The problem, I think they're okay on this, because the problem with the overship policy is guys will factor that in.
Oh, I see. What you're
saying. If they think they can sell 80, they'll order 60 and get their 20 overship,
rather than
buy the 80 that they think and then still get the 20.
Right. Okay, I'm with you. Let's move on here.
All right. Sin City 2.
Yeah, so Sin City, the first one came out directed by Robert Rodriguez.
That's Chai Chai's brother.
I'm horrible at saying that. I'm sorry.
Rodriguez.
But, that, of course, is by the series by Frank Miller from Dark Horse. And, and the first one did very well.
Awesome.
And so now the sequel is finally coming out.
Yeah, so that's good. Sin City 2, look forward to that. And it's A Dame to Kill For. Those graphic novels, if you head into your local comic shop, they should have a copy of A Dame to Kill For.
Yeah,
so it'd be a great way to prep for the movie.
Absolutely.
Pick that up. All right, Chris, let's talk about comics Pro.
Now, what the heck is Comics Pro?
Well, we're talking a lot about comic shops today.
Right.
So, Comics Professional Retailer Organization. Sorry, Retail Organizations. Comics Pro. They are a hodgepodge group of retailers that have some sort of organization that we try to act as a unifying.
Okay, so it's like all the comic book retailers out there get together and say, hey, like let's try to have a voice together.
Let's try to have a voice together.
They're doing like a union or something.
Yeah. Well, it's like a club or whatever. And they're trying down in the States, especially. They're trying to get better, let's say, healthcare through the numbers of people that they have. They're trying to get better prices on their point, their Visa and debit card, all that kind of stuff. Because they can't say, yeah, I'm a one small guy in Timbuktu. They can say, hey, we are acting as a voice for so many retailers.
Yeah, and, together you're many. And
We're many. Mm-hmm. So they're having their sixth annual meeting. But what came to me is just kind of out of the blue. Last week I was reading about Kindle.
Oh, yeah, from Amazon.
Amazon.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
How they're going to publish their own thing, and how DC signed an exclusive to get those 100 graphic novels, those classic ones like Watchmen and Dark Knight,
all
onto Kindle and stuff like that. And then Barnes & Noble's Nook Reader.
Right.
Barnes & Noble got ticked off, and they boycotted DC's books. And this kind of...
So did Books A Million.
So did Books A Million. Yep. But I guess my initial thought, and it's just nothing, but... Why couldn't Comics Pro, Diamond through Comics Pro as a combination of, 3-4 years ago, why couldn't we collectively invest in a comic book reader?
Maybe the
local comic book shops of North America may have had the exclusive from DC as well, because we already have the relationship.
That would have been
a good
idea, but I think, unfortunately, I don't think Comics Pro would have had the kind of power that Apple or Kindle or, like Amazon or, BlackBerry, all those readers have, right?
No, I totally agree with you. I'm not.
But you're right.
I'm just saying it's like...
If Diamond was really on the ball...
And Comics Pro was a tighter organization.
They could have come up with something for themselves, because really, then they would just be distributing to themselves. They could have come up with a subsidiary company that would only distribute to a specific type of reader. So if you want to read comics online, you have to go out and buy this particular reader.
Well,
it would be like half the price of a normal reader, because it would be strictly for comics.
And through Comics Pro, you would have to buy these tablets at local comic book shops.
Yeah.
And companies like DC would have exclusive digital content through Comics Pro, Diamond, local comic book shops.
Yep.
We would be in a position where we're not kind of – we're right now, we're on the outside kind of looking in at all these digital battles.
And
we feel kind of powerless. And yet collectively, this is the frustrating part, collectively, I think we sell more graphic novels, local comic book shops, than any other individual retailer, including probably Amazon.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so, yeah.
So, anyway. Just kind of a thought that came to me, and that's all.
They could have done something big, but once again, they blew it.
Yeah. Same as it ever was. all right, what else do we got, Chris?
So we got Dark Tower on HBO. So, of course, Stephen King's popular series of novels, and then they did some follow-up novels and, graphic novels and comics with in comics, of course. Now, of course, the Dark Tower TV series is going to be realized finally on HBO.
Yes, which is really good, and they're planning some movies, maybe.
Right.
But they have the TV series for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, that's huge. And I mean, if you get your foot in the door at HBO, that's huge, because the budget is high.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to cast it very well.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
It's going to be well received. HBO is always leading the Emmys every year.
Absolutely.
It's big news.
Yeah, so I think this is good news.
All right, so let's jump on, because we have tons.
Yeah, okay, so let's keep going here. So we got
Tintin. Tintin, the big movie premiere happened in Belgium last weekend. In Europe, it's been released already on the weekend. In London, they had like the big star-studded premiere with Spielberg,
really?
And everybody was there.
Were you there? I know you're a big fan.
I was not there.
No.
I wonder if our our friend.
Oh, I say,
Danny Champ.
Little Danny Champion.
I wonder if he
reporter.
Went. You know what, Danny, if you're listening. please send a review of the film.
Yeah, the premiere, yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
And let us know if you hobnobbed with any of the, you know, the stars.
That, yeah, this is great.
Because
yeah.
Daniel Craig is in the movie.
Daniel Craig and Simon Pegg.
Yep.
And Andy Serkis. This is lots of great people here.
You got Spielberg. You got, what's the guy's name that did The Lord of the Rings, the director?
That's Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson involved and stuff like that. And the great part about it is, the part that excites me, I guess, is that it's been getting good reviews.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Steven Spielberg, really, I mean, he doesn't do very many flops.
No, he doesn't. Now, Marty.
Yes.
I know you're not a Tintin fan, per se, but... did you happen to check out maybe the trailer on
TV? I actually never caught it. I heard your show, was it a week or two ago? You've actually mentioned this a couple times. And you know what? As I check, I usually go on appletrailers.com. I couldn't find it there. It wasn't in like the recently added. I don't know. Like maybe it'll be up there now, with the movie release.
Right.
But it may have been a little bit obscure. It wasn't kind of hitting the high note where some of the other movies have. And that's just kind of what I skim over when I do check what's coming up.
That's the thing that Spielberg is hoping to change. He's saying that... he hopes that it's a success in North America because he's frustrated because he's a Tintin fan and he bought the rights to Tintin 30 years ago or something like
Oh, did he really?
He's hoping that the movie will launch Tintin as a property in the United States.
Yeah.
So, because you know what? Tintin has never been published in the United States.
Yeah, like it's a big Euro, like across seas.
Yeah, you import the stuff, but you never... So hopefully we're going to see some good Tintin stuff.
All right, sounds good. Well, you know what? That is an excellent segue into our next musical number. And for this one, we've got Meet the Creeper, but a different version of it. So, you know, it is Halloween after all. Halloween after all. I thought, you know,
no,
like the
great,
Creeper.
Great.
Yeah.
I love, remember, I think that was probably my favorite of all time Scooby episode.
Meet the Creeper?
The Creeper.
Oh, right, yeah, the Creeper, yeah.
That was the best Scooby episode of
actually,
all time.
My favorite was the one, there's one with the Headless Horseman. That was.
I, oh, I love that one,
that
too.
That one actually scared me as a kid.
Oh,
cause,
wow.
Because it was one of those things where at first I thought maybe the Headless Horseman was actually real.
Right.
Yeah. They do play up those villains in the Scooby.
Well,
you actually think it's something paranormal.
Oh,
and then you find it's Grandma Mabel in a bedsheet or something.
Yeah, and with some sort of strings.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was very
knitwork.
Good.
Yeah.
All right,
let's keep going here.
Let's keep going. Chris, our friends... down at Comic Connect / Metropolis Comics.
Right, yes.
Vincers is in the gang. Yep. In the gang. They've pulled out quite a coup. This is from Bleeding Cool, by the way, a great website. There are a lot of the original Superman creator, Jerry Siegel, and Joe Shuster, by the way, who's a Canadian.
Yes.
There's a lot of memorabilia from Jerry Siegel, the co-creator of Superman, up for auction right now. Actually, it ends in November sometime.
But this is kind of weird. The stuff that's actually up for auction is
I think it's cool.
It's not your average thing. Like, yeah. It's not like, you know, I thought when you first told me about this, I thought we were going to see all kinds of things like, you know, an original sketch
yes.
or his autograph or something like that. This is completely different.
Out to left field type stuff.
Yes.
What do we have first? We have this is a check cut from Detective Comics Inc. So Detective Comics Inc., which was the name of the company before it was called DC.
Yeah, so it was Detective Comics Inc. Actually, well, before that, I guess it was National
Publications. National, right.
Or after that, rather, I should say.
They cut a check and they bought the rights from Siegel and Schuster to Superman for $130.
$130. So you know what? So basically, for $130, they paid for the rights to Superman. That's crazy.
Wow.
Well, what's $130 back then?
That's like maybe $1,000 and something now.
Yeah, it's
cheap.
It's still not that much.
$1,500 even.
Okay, let's say you know, okay, a car back then may have been $1,000.
Right, or $800.
Or $800. And a car now is like $15,000. Right. So let's say that was the $130. Now it's $1,300.
Or even $2,000.
Even $2,000.
It's just
enough money to get you a car to drive over a cliff when you realize what a dumb move that probably was.
Right, pretty much. Yeah, okay. Yes. Absolutely right.
Hey, I'd probably still sell my rights to myself as an actor for $130 today dollars.
You know, that'd be a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
For who, I'm not going to say.
No.
But you can buy a lot of rope with $130.
You really can.
Which is great because actually the check that they're showing. So they're basically going to auction this check off.
Yeah.
Now this check, that's probably going to go for thousands and thousands of dollars,
oh,
right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
As great memorabilia. So,
but you know what's funny is that it actually says other. So the check is in total of $412,
mm-hmm.
but it actually includes other items such as DC. Adventures and fun. So this must be referring to the more fun comics,
right?
And adventure comics, and actually the words, the like Detective Comics DC. That's strange. So they're actually buying it all from them.
Wow,
incredible!
Which
incredible.
Is great. But there's other cool things, not just that check, which would be a cool thing to have.
It'd be very cool. But you know what? I don't know if I'd say the next one is cool. It's sort of strange.
All right, so we have Jerry Siegel's hair.
Yeah. So hold on. So you're telling me that in 1977, Jerry Siegel, creator of Superman, apparently the story goes that he went to some museum or something like that. He saw some other presidential people or
cutting their hair, and
who had like snips of their hair in a museum,
saving it for posterity.
So here's Jerry Siegel who decides to cut his own hair and save it. Now it's up for auction. So Jerry Siegel's hair is up for auction. The guy that created Superman.
Yeah. Now, if you jump onto bleedingcool.com, you'll see pictures of the hair, little tufts of hair, and a little handwritten note that Jerry Siegel wrote in 1977. So there you go.
So the little note says, "These hairs are from the head which originated the character Superman, and thinks that during the early years where I sought to get the character before the publicity, but public scoffing and editors called it a hair-brained idea."
Ayo!
Ayo!
You know, he would never make it as a comedian.
No.
But he did creating a superhero.
He did creating a world-renowned character.
All right, we got other goodies up. This is right up my alley, guys. We have a CGC grade, and of course CGC is the company that professionally grades comic books.
Yes.
They have a CGC graded 5.5, which is a mid-range copy of Jerry Siegel's personal copy of Superman number 1.
I was going to say, but it's Superman number 1, so I mean, this is still going for big bucks.
It's still
going
to hold its value no matter who.
For sure.
But does that add a? Sorry, I was just going to say, would that add a premium? Would that make it go above and beyond a normal 5.5?
That's a good question.
Oh yeah, I would say. You see, it depends, right? Now, Stan Lee, it won't.
Right.
Stan Lee had file copies out the wazoo. I mean, I don't know what the scam there was,
but yet his copies didn't sell for anything extra. Because
they do. They do. I'm saying though that the Stan Lee file copies of Millie the Model number 106.
Right,
there's a lot of Stan Lee file copies of comics, is my point.
Now,
the Stan Lee file copy of Amazing Fantasy 15, the first Spider-Man, will carry weight.
Absolutely.
But the fact that there are not very many personal copies of Siegel's comic books makes this a rarity in itself.
Absolutely.
Just the fact that this is, one of the few auctioned off as a personal copy of his. So.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off. On the first page, they have a scan of the first page of the comic there,
mm-hmm.
and so it has like the that classic Superman rocket hurtling from Krypton down to Earth. And but on the very top of it, you can see it says personal copy of Jerome Siegel. So this is, he was actually calling himself Jerome Siegel, not Jerry Siegel, which I think is kind of cool.
Right.
I've never, ever heard of him being referred to as Jerome Siegel before.
Okay. Now, here's the detective in me. Here's the Columbo in me coming out.
Just one more thing.
This is where I'd come in and say, look, I hate to bother you, man. But Superman comes out in 1939. They're a dime a dozen. Get it? A dime a dozen because they were a dime. They were cheap.
Someone had to laugh.
They were cheap. I can't see him putting inside personal copy of Jerome Siegel right away. I just can't see it. I can see it being done afterwards.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm a little suspicious is my point.
I can understand. I can see why you'd be a little skeptical here. But maybe the next item will make you less skeptical because the next item up for bids is actually a tie worn by Jerry Siegel with a picture of Jerry Siegel wearing the tie.
What's great is it's got a picture of the tie up close.
Yeah.
And then it's got a little inset picture of him wearing that tie. Right?
I think of all the items, clearly I couldn't afford the Superman comic, but the tie I think would be great. I would love to own that.
You know what? The thing about that tie, I think that's coming back, that tie, right?
For sure. Those are in style now.
Those are in style.
Now, this is a black and white photo, so I don't know what colors they are, but I'm assuming that it's, you know, modern.
Snazzy.
Color. Yeah.
Well, no, like, listen, the good part about it is there was a...
You put a bid on the tie?
No. There's this has got a lot of buzz, and a lot of the competing websites, they're kind of jealous of this. So
sure,
there's a crosstown competing auction house called Double Bubble Auctions.
Oh, okay.
And they're advertising a few of their own things that they have up on auction to compete with this auction.
Oh.
For example, did you know that they have William Shatner's toupee?
You lie.
On auction. No, the one he wore during the Wrath of Khan film.
Do they also have, Khan's fake chest as well?
I don't know. But they have William Shatner. They also have listed in the Double Bubble Auction House.
Double Bubble. Remember, there's a movie being made about that.
Yeah, two college kids doing something weird.
Yeah.
No. They have Lou Ferrigno's crushed hearing aid.
Oh.
Stepped on by Bill Bixby when it accidentally fell out of Lou's ear during an action sequence in Hulk. The Hulk, Episode 3, Season 2.
Oh, right. That was the one with those bad guys down by the dock.
Yes.
And, you know...
Yeah, remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that one. And then people would always get flung into the
last item they had, they only had three. It's a cheap auction house. They have a Carrie Fisher's personal lightsaber.
You know, funny thing about that is it actually did a lot more use,
Hello.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Let's move on. Yeah.
All right, let's
wait. You skipped over the most important fact. So you've got Siegel's 5.5 Superman. What was the hair graded at? Is it mint? People need to know if it's mint.
I'm sorry, 5.5 is like a fine minus, which is kind of in the middle.
Yeah, and what's his hair graded?
Oh, the hair, right. The hair is, good point. I would say it's coarse.
Okay, coarse.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coarse.
Not fine?
No. Coarse.
Yeah.
Right. Hey,
it's for horses.
Now, we're going to jump over to Marty here, Chris.
Okay.
Now, do we have another Halloween-themed song?
No, but you know what? Let's...
well, we might as well.
Well, why don't we just go with, this is a little, this one's also by Rob Zombie, but...
you don't
also
say.
Also called Meet the Creeper.
No, this one is The Return of the Phantom Stranger.
Right on.
Yeah.
Chris, I absolutely love it. And you know what? Rob Zombie, great pick for our Halloween show.
Well, you know, I figured it was Halloween, zombie, yeah. You know, yes. Rob Zombie. It's
I understand,
zombies.
Chris, I understand.
Do you get the joke there,
yes,
Rob?
Yes, I do.
Do you get it? Do you
now,
get it? All right.
Now, what it reminded me, because Rob Zombie, you know, Phantom Stranger, Meet the Creeper, he yeah. must be a comic
a,
kind
he
of...
He is a huge comic fan.
Right.
Huge, huge comic book fan.
And it just dawned on me that we forgot to mention that in that Comic Connect auction, the 9.0... out of 10, Marty, Action Comics number 1 that belonged to Nicolas Cage will be auctioned. Now, I believe, correct me, I may be wrong, listenership can add the comments if I'm wrong, but I believe that is a restored copy.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
Because, so Nicolas Cage's Action Comics number 1, 9.0 is also being auctioned on that thing.
Very cool.
All right. So we're here with our special guest, Marty Berthelmer. Marty.
Yes, Walt.
We're going to talk to you about a certain project that you have going on here in Hamilton with the local television station, Cable 14.
Cable 14 Hamilton, yep.
And now you're doing some pop culture comic book related stuff with them. Can you explain?
Absolutely. So what we're doing, Walt, you know all about it. Don't
okay.
He's playing a little stuff. We film it at your store for the majority of it,
well,
and you're aware.
Just play along, will you? Come on. The audience doesn't know this stuff.
Yeah, like what else do I get out of it? Come on
now.
Yeah.
Well, at the end, you've got your store name and credit.
How about you just explain it? Just
okay,
do
okay.
asked.
Other than my store name at the end, what else do I get out of it?
Well, you were interviewed begging and pleading for the old women and men to search their attics, scouring hand and knee to find you old books.
Okay, Chris, help me out
okay.
here.
Okay, so Cable 14. Cable 14. So up to this point, there's been about 13 or so segments. You know, they're 3 or 4 minute segments in length. Each time I will be interviewing someone who's kind of an expert in a field related to comic books and the pop culture of it. So, for instance, with yourself, we talked about the expensive books, you know,
right,
in the area and
right.
how people should sell them only to you. But well, aside from that, you enlightened us about, you know, expensive books and how, you know, people overlook them and where they can be hiding still, you know, and then you're looking at comic books in the classroom and how kids can actually learn to read. Mm-hmm. And there are 3-4 minute segments about everything kind of comic related as it ventures into everyday world, because comic books are bleeding right into pop culture and everyday life. I mean, movies, video games, toys, like all of those we have actually filmed already.
Yeah, yeah, you've done segments on mm-hmm. comics and movies, comics and video games, comics and toys. Mm-hmm. Now, you also did some work at that Fan Expo, right?
Absolutely. That was, I believe, 3 of the segments that are actually currently running, maybe for the past week or two. I think people even tell me they recognize you. They don't tell me so much they've seen me on TV. They say, hey, I've seen that comic guy on TV. Anyway.
Right.
Bleeding hearts aside.
There's no bitterness there, is there?
Bitterman. Hearts aside here. Yeah, Fan Expo, we got great coverage. I mean, we did a big cosplay thing. They have no idea. Their eyes were open to the cosplay environment.
No, hold on. For our listeners, what is cosplay?
People dressing up in costume and role-playing as said character that they should dress up as.
Okay, so you're saying, like, you know, if I like Spider-Man, so I'm going to dress up as Spider-Man.
Absolutely.
And pretend to be Spider-Man.
And you know what? You're dressing up as Spider-Man. You're not carrying a wallet and bags and backpacks. You're just being Spider-Man attending this comic convention. You're taking pictures. You're being photohygienic, hopefully. Being kind to the children being yelled at to hold. I
would be
know.
Like a Spider-Man that's, you know, been on a pizza binge for about 40 months.
Yeah. I'd be, if I was Batman, I'd be the Kingdom Come Batman.
Yeah.
Well, the old guy.
You wish you were that.
One with thick around the middle.
One way or another, you get some colorful characters who are adamant and passionate about what they're doing. We talked to them, and you know, we got some great footage there. We also did just a general overview of the Fan Expo.
Cool.
So, I mean, for people out there who've never seen a comic convention, this is, you know, ground zero for Canada's comic convention.
Their
eyes are open to everything that there is, and mind's blown.
So what's the next step for you with Cable 14? What are you hoping to do? Do you have any particular plans? Are you hoping to, is there anybody that you out there that you want to start interviewing or some sort of store or place?
Well, Chris, the last segments that we actually did, we actually got some very big artists on. We actually got Richard Cumley, creator, artist, illustrator, you know, writer for Captain Canuck.
Oh, so
who
actually
has a movie coming up. So, I mean, this is actually Canada's own character coming to the silver screen. He also has a web animated series.
You know,
he's got tons of stuff going on right now.
You know that Captain Canuck also had a stamp made after him as well.
See, and if that doesn't say something about you, then
I mean, really, yeah. when does mm-hmm. the Canada Post ever make stamps of a particular, you know, character of somebody, right? So I mean, it's Captain Canuck is that big.
Marty,
right?
Bethelmer's gold to be on a stamp.
Right, I would love that.
And then we got Leonard Kirk, Marvel DC artist, and we got Greg Hyland who does Lego stuff. We got all of that, but you know what? We keep having guests. Like, there are so many people in the local community who have something relative to comics that we're going to keep doing this for, you know, the next month, 2 months, whatever. And then there are some talks of things in the works, let's say, down the road, but we're not gonna talk until we talk, because I've barely got a toe in the door right now.
Toe.
But
now,
yes.
Now, what's the, you told me before, but I forget, what's the program called where it's on, and where can people kind of...
Okay, so it's Cable 14, the channel, which is local Hamilton, but it's actually called Hamilton Life, and so you can actually go on their website to figure out either to look at the shows. If you go on the left side and you click the shows tab, underneath it's Hamilton Life, and then when you click on that, it gives you the rundown. I believe it airs Monday to Thursdays on the half an hour, so 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, because it's like a 3-4 minute segment in between shows. Other than that, you can find the exact listings, because it was also compiled 3 or 4 minute segments into an entire half hour show.
Oh, cool.
You know, might have eight or whatever in a row, and to find out about that, you go on the right hand side of the page, and you go into the On Cable 14 Now section, and it's a block schedule, and it'll show you the entire full schedule for the week.
Cable14.com, right?
Yes.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but can you watch these segments online as well?
You know what? Right now, I actually heard from the talks of the producer at Cable 14. They are adamantly trying for this fall season to get all of their footage and shows kind of
okay, so it's coming
able
up.
To stream online. You can actually stream directly on their website, Cable 14.
Though. Oh, okay,
so
cool.
So when you see Hamilton Life, you can stream online.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Marty, I know you're working hard to try to line up more guests as it continues. Now, who's your dream guests for Hamilton Life? Who about these comic pop culture things? And I know you already had me mm-hmm. on.
So. I was going to say reoccurring Walt.
No. Durelia, you have to pick another kind of, you know, guy or girl that you'd love to have on interviewed.
Me.
Well, you know what? Hopefully, I've talked to Richard Cumley. He's got the big movie in the works.
Uh-huh.
Once he casts me as Captain Canuck, I'm going to interview myself.
Oh, that'd be
very good.
Now are you going to have some sort of like weird split screen thing where it's going to be like...
There's going to be a big green screen thing.
Oh, I like it.
I might be running, I don't know, in the prairies somewhere.
In the prairies?
Yeah.
You know, that's a very good point. Does how many instances in crimes does Captain Canuck have to solve in the prairies?
Yes. I don't know. It's usually Toronto.
Who stole the wheat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where'd the wheat go?
Yeah.
Where'd the wheat?
Yeah.
Petey Wheatstraw.
Be a big...
well, good for you, Marty. I mean,
thanks,
Hamilton Life, right, on cable14.com.
Yep.
And you got more in the works. We got 13 in the bag, right?
Yeah, it's not slowing down either. They love what, well, you and I are kind of collaborating on. So they love where I'm taking this and where you're backing and footing the bill, but without there actually being a bill.
Yeah, there's no
bill.
They
love your name being stamped on the top of the page when I send it to them.
No,
right, yes. Using Big B letterhead, that's all you're doing.
Absolutely.
All right, good for you. Now, before we go, though, you were telling me over a cognac a couple nights ago.
Which one?
That you did some TV work. You're going to be in tell me what you're going to be in.
Absolutely.
Like some sort of TV series or TV show.
Well, yeah, because I had an agent a couple years back, kind of gave it up, whatever. But now I've been in the area, as you keep announcing me as actor extraordinaire. So Ultimate Team Challenge is a show that I believe it's in its second season on the Old Man TV, which is now Cave TV channel, mm-hmm. which is actually National Canadian Television. So I went out for a thing of that. It's like a Fear Factor parody, but with a weird twist at the end, which I was unaware of until the end. And you know, it was a lot of fun.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm just getting out there. Cable 14 and this was...
So did you have to like eat any bugs or anything like that? Like, because that was Fear Factor was sort of famous for that, right?
Oh, they keep the tradition going, Chris. Let me tell you.
Nice.
Are you allowed to tell me what you ate? Or is this like, you know, you have to wait till you see it on
you
TV?
You know what? The regular versions of these little things, they're usually pretty gummy, but this one had shell. I don't know. It had a skeleton of some kind. It was a lot crunchier.
He's
and
looking awfully pale.
Yeah,
right,
I know.
Now,
it's
hey?
Looking,
it's
just looking like
and
butter,
it
right?
wasn't just one of them either. You're going in the multiples here.
Now, what's the show called and when will this air?
This is called Ultimate Team Challenge, as I know by its working title. It might actually be called I believe it's actually called Man Up.
Man Up. All right.
Man Up.
And this will be hopefully in the winter because this is a season finale that I actually shot. So the entire season needs to play out first.
All right. Well, that sounds good. You know what? Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. Walt.
Yes, Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. Click on the links, scroll down to the bottom, and add your comments in the comments field.
And remember, if you're going to drink tonight, don't drink and drive. Just drink wine.
And please, go out and support your local comic book shop.